It's been a few weeks that we have been talking about. He changes not. And we have learned that God will never change, for he says so. And for anybody who has a sound mind, you know he will never change. There is no reason why he would change. He's already good. He is already great. He has no comparison. He has no equal. And he does nothing that is not perfect. Why would he change? Why would he change? He said, I am the Lord, I change not. That's why you sons of Jacob, you are not consumed. So please, don't ask him to change, because if he changes, it's not going to be good. He set everything perfect. He is a perfect God, a good God. I am glad he changes not. Ain't you? Praise God. Today, like I said last week, we have a word from God. And the word is conveniency. Conveniency is an old word, an old English word. Old English word. All it means is convenience. It's the word convenience in the old English. They used to use the word conveniency to mean the same thing. Why an old word? For there is nothing new under the sun. There is nothing new under the sun. What is happening now has already happened. And what will happen tomorrow had already happened. Amen? Conveniency. It's a word that came to me in my prayer for my people, for him, for myself, and for the whole world that would hear from this pulpit. Conveniency. And the Bible talks about conveniency. In ways and others that the meaning of the word comes out like a pressed milk that yields butter. You listen to the word and you will understand why God is talking to us about convenience. Amen. Genesis, the beginning, the book of the beginnings. It says, Genesis chapter 11. Now the whole world had one language and same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. They had one language and the same words. It was convenient. They could just say, let's do this, and everybody is in tune. And they could just move. Convenience. And they said to one another, come, Let us make bricks and build them thoroughly. They had the words to communicate. Let's make bricks, but let's build them thoroughly, strongly. And they had bricks for stone. See? They talk the same language. It wasn't difficult. They had bricks for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, convenience of the language. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. That's what they're going to be. They will be dispersed over all the face of the earth. Exactly what they didn't want. The convenience of the language. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men had built. You all know the story. You all know the story. Remember, I said, when milk is pressed, it yields butter. Hallelujah. Conveniency. The easiness of things. What suits our want? What suits our desires? What makes it easy for us to just get what we want? No matter what. Conveniency. This easiness to get to where we want to go. This easiness to eat whenever we want to eat. Microwave. Conveniency. 102, 106, 126, the floors. It's like, woo, you are there. Talk. Yeah, when I came in America for the first time, that was the first time I was going in an elevator ride for so high. I went on an elevator ride for as high as a 7th floor. You know about the Twin Towers? That was where I went for my papers, get my social security and everything. It was where? 84. I'm like, what time is it going to take? How long is it going to take for me to go? And believe me, while I was coming to the, I said, is that where I'm going? It is too high. And I'm looking. Am I going to go over there? And in the letter they say 84th floor? How long is it going to take? Amen? I got to the lobby, and with the English that I had, I'm going to the Social Security office, and the lady said, 84th floor. No, these are these English people. They're not like African people. They will say, they will try to talk to you. Oh, you're going to the Social Security office? Yeah, it is at the 84th floor. No, she did not make two words, 84th floor. That's it. Like, okay, I don't think I'm going to get help here. So I'm just going to go to the to the I saw people lining up for the elevator. I got on. It's like, 16 people. And I got on, and I looked. I saw everybody is pushing a button, and I went and pushed 84. All I heard is, it's like, that was seventh floor. Somebody got up, another person got up, and we were left to be less than 10. As soon as they got off, you don't even hear the sound of those doors closing. And then all of a sudden, this time we were at 50. I'm like, what? Not even a minute. And all of a sudden, 84. And I'm standing. I didn't know. Somebody said, you push 84? I said, yes, this is 84. So I slid out. Man, I'm looking around. Man, this is what? This is like heaven. Man. After I finished what I came for, I got out and I was curious enough to kind of go around and see what is going on. Asking myself, is there... Maybe somebody will stop me and say, hey, where are you going? No, nobody said nothing. So I went around and around, and I lost my way. Couldn't go back to the elevator. So it's like north side, east side, south side, south side and west side, right? I entered from the east side, and I found myself in the north side going down. It's like, phew, phew, phew. And I'm downstairs. I got off. I walk outside, and the street that I came from, I don't recognize the name. That's not the street I came from. And I'm kind of completely lost. So, thank God, everywhere you will always find somebody who is going to stop and listen to you. In New York, nobody stops to listen to you. Everybody is walking. And if you are on their way, they kick you and keep going. I'm turning, and I found this young man. Looks like African, and said, excuse me, sir. And he said, yes. Said, I'm trying to go back to the Bronx, and I don't. He said, you are on the north. Turn around, go to the east, and go downstairs, and you can get your train back. So I turn around, and then, by the grace of God, I saw the name of the street, and I went downstairs, and everything was okay. It was so easy. Where I am from, it's like, for that, you're going to take like not less than a month before you get to the Social Security Administration. And when you get there, if you are not lucky enough, they will take as many people as they can, and you might have to come back sometimes in a month. That was quick. Everything is done. And I'm going home. It's a world of conveniency. They want to make things easy. And they want to make it quicker. make it so it doesn't hurt your body. They want to make it so it doesn't hurt your feelings. Conveniency. That's what it was here. We have the same language. We talk the same language. The word that I say, you understand them. Let's do things our way for our name. Let's do it for our conveniency. Let's do it to please us. Let's do it to be named. And let's do it so we are not bothered. So we are not squattered on the face of the earth. What God said to Adam and Eve? What did he say to them? Multiply. And do what? Occupy the whole world. Now, for conveniency, we want to make a town, a tower, and just stay there. Go on the tower and touch God. Make us a name. Come down and go back up again. Conveniency for our name, for our pleasure. You know the end of everything. You know the end of everything. Is it happening just in America, in the world? And it happening in church? And it happening in the church of Jesus Christ? God said, multiply, occupy the whole earth, subdue everything. From the tower where they wanted to stay, God squattered them. He spread them everywhere to make it difficult for them to come back together. He made some to speak Yana, Awala, Yamzok, Awala. Anybody hear what I said? For it, yeah. Anybody understood what I said? For you, Laba, anybody understood what I said? So if that's what I speak, how can I have you follow me? If that's what I speak, how can I have you do what I think is good for me or for you and us and me together? Some people ask themselves, why did God do that? He first gives you a command. And he says, do it for your life. Do it for your good. Unfortunately, we think we know better than God and we want to do it our way. Conveniency. Do it the easiest way. Do it to please myself. Do it for my own pleasure. Amen? Is it happening in the church of God today? Remember before he left for heaven to prepare a place, before he comes to fetch us, he gave a commission. And he didn't say it will be convenient. He did not say you will go and everybody will say hallelujah, Jesus is Lord. He didn't say you will go and everybody is going to welcome you. He said, sending you as a sheep. Dumb is a sheep. Dumb is that animal. No defense. No defense. I have never heard that a sheep had done anything hurtful to anybody. A pet sheep when I was home, growing up. If one of the sheep is going straight, all of the sheep are following. If he's turning around, all of them are turning around. And they're following. They won't stop. If one of the sheep start running, before you know, all the sheep are running. He's sending us as a sheep, not to be pet. In the midst of who? Not only wolves, but lions, coyotes, and all of such. Why is he sending us? To make of all these wolves, coyotes, lions, panthers, leopards, and to make them disciple of his. There is no conveniency in such a thing. It is always inconvenience. The mortals, the bricks, the bitumens, and the tower. All of these were made through the convenience of the same language, the same words. Do we have a Holy Ghost? Do we have a word? Let me ask again. Do we have the Holy Ghost? Do we have the Word? What is it happening in the house of the Lord? Conveniency is taking place. We want the Holy Ghost to dance and sing and run around. Please ourselves. We need the word just to please our eyes. The word and the Holy Ghost were not given to the church for conveniency. It is given to the church for inconveniency. And we will read Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Isaiah, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version. English Standard Version. Isaiah 5, verses 1 through 7. It says, let me sing for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. Keep that in mind. A vineyard on a very fertile hill. Amen. Verse 2. He dug it and cleared it of stone, make it smooth, and planted it with choice vine. Selected people. People that are chosen, made special. He built a watchtower in the midst of it. He gave them the Holy Ghost and hewed out a wine what in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes. Gave them, he made everything perfect. Set him up to do something precious. They had everything to yell what he wants. And he looked for it to yell grapes. But it yelled wild grapes. And now, O inhabitant of Jerusalem and men of Judah, O church, O church of Jesus, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. Ah, same thing he did to the Tower of Babel. I will remove its edge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up it. I will also command a cloud that there rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. Who is the house of Israel, if not the church of God? And the men of Judah. Who is the men of Judah, if not the Christians in the house of God? Those are his pleasing planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed. For righteousness. But behold, an outcry. Behold, an outcry. The vineyard. Is a farming. The farmers that do such work, they put a lot of time in it. You got to take all the stone around, make the place smooth. And believe me, the best vine his product is produced uphill. It is uphill that they produce the best grape. And it's uphill also that you find all the kinds of rocks, stones. For when it rains, the water going down the hill is taking everything that it can take, which is the sun, the mud, and every stone that is not able to be pulled down is left up the hill. We were left up the hill. And that's where Jesus came and found the place where he can put us as a vine. He came where Satan was king. He came where there was no angels because Satan was ruling. And before he went back to heaven, he said, I have conquered the world. Be not afraid, for I have conquered the world. I have taken all the stone away, and I have planted you right there for you to bear the best of the fruits. For who? For me, Jesus. Is Jesus really happy with what is going on in church today? Are we yielding the grapes that he is looking for? I will give you one. One proof in the Word of God, Mark 8, the book of Mark, chapter 8, verses 22, all through to verses 26, Mark, chapter 8. Verses 22 to 26. Still in the English Standard Version. Easy for our reading. For we are not British. We are not we are not inclined to understand the King James. King James English. Not that it is stronger than our understanding. Amen. So, here in Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through verses 26, I want you to pay attention carefully here. Because you might say, what is the kind of proof are you trying to show us? Listen to what it says. And they came to Bethsaida, and some people, everyone says some people brought to him a blind man. Somebody say a blind man. And begged him to touch him. Verses 23. And he took the blind man, say blind man, by the hand and led him out of the village. Everybody say out of the village. And when he had spit on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked, "Do you see anything?" Repeat this with me. Do you see anything? And he looked up and said, "I see men, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he opened his eyes. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Say, clearly. And he sent him to his home, saying, "Now listen to me. This blind man can see now. He should go back to the village and say, 'I can see, I can see, I can see, I can see, I can see.'" Dance. Right? Listen to what Jesus said to him. And he sent him to his home, saying, "Do not even enter this village. Do not even enter this village." Bethsaida is not a place where Jehovah was unknown. Bethsaida was not a place where the name of Yahweh was unknown. Bethsaida is where Jesus was not welcome. They didn't think of him to be anything. In Bethsaida, the inhabitant of the town did not recognize the authority of Jesus. They did not. Amen? They should, because they knew about Jehovah. They should, because they knew there was a Messiah coming. They should, because they knew when the Messiah comes, blind would see. Leprous would be healed. They knew about this Messiah. When he comes, miracles, miracles. And in Bethsaida, they had seen so many miracles, but they did not care about Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm preaching something here. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? They knew about him. Some of them were waiting for him. Now he has come. And what was prophesied that he would do was being done. Yet, they did not care. Yet, they still were doubting him. Oh, my brother, oh, my sister, in this house of God, it looks like people are doubting Jesus. It looks like they are not believing the power of the one who said, "I send you a sheep in the middle of the wolves." And he said, "Don't worry, I have overcome the world. And I'm going to be with you all the way to the end of the times." Is that him? Now you understand why he took the blind man out of the village? Do you understand why he grabbed him by the hand instead of saying, follow me? Be careful. Conveniency. The same conveniency that take the people in Shinear or Shinar. That conveniency that make them wanted to stay there, make a tower, go to God. Hey, you see us? We are strong, intelligent. We are capable. That conveniency was confused by God. The conveniency in the church of God today is going to be confused by the same word. Not me saying, it's him. It's him. We've got to know what he has commanded. We got to heed in the commandment, and we got to walk according to the commandment in the inconvenience that it makes us and puts us in. If we try to be convenient, hallelujah, this God owes nothing to nobody. So he does not regard anybody. In the plain of Shinear, China. I don't know the name of the head of this man. I don't know who were those responsible in this community building a tower and a city. I don't know who was the most respected among them. At the same time, I don't know who was the less skilled among them. I don't know who was not rich enough to show off. I don't know who was sick among them. I don't know who had no respect among them. I don't know who was the lower among them. But all together, when he came down, he confused them all. No regard to nobody. You know you don't know. You literate, you are illiterate. You poor, you rich. You great, you small. Have it, don't have it. When he came down, he confused them all. Send them everywhere. No regard to nobody. None of them. Ah, every time I think of God, I say, Lord, at least Moses. They tried to stone him so many times. A little bit of regard to him, so he goes all the way to the promised land. No. He did not. Moses stayed far. He saw the promised land from far. That's Moses. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? The man that saw God by his back. The man that went to the mountain and talked with God. The man to whom God dictated the laws and the commands. He did not regard to that person. Who are you? Who are you? Conveniency. Oh, my brother. Oh, my sister. I don't know. We are really in trouble. For we love this conveniency more than the one who promised more than conveniency. And usually, conveniency has always made things difficult. Conveniency has always made things difficult for human beings. While his promise is better than the conveniency that we are seeking. So I'm saying that to say that if we don't practice his commandment, if we don't do his commission, if we want to hide behind conveniency and do whatsoever we want, we are a loss for cause. Wow. The word of God. Will not change. For the word, the one who spoke it says, I am the Lord. I change not. And I love that. Instead of saying, I shall not change. I will not change. I'm not going to change. He said, I change not. You and I, we have to change, for we owe Jesus everything. Moreover, we owe him the salvation that we have. He gave us the word. He gave us the Holy Ghost. And he promised. And when you know who promised, you can take this promise for sure and certain. He will be with us all the way to the end of the times. What are we doing? Conveniency. Come to church Sunday morning. Sing and dance. Get out and do what I want. What suits me? What is convenient for my situation? I don't want to die. So why am I going to the wolves? He sent us to the wolf. If you refuse to go, he can send the wolves to you. But these wolves, they walk around. The Bible says, That the devil is like a lion, roaring around looking for whom to devour. He's not looking for those who are walking together, doing the commission. He's looking for the sheep that is trying to hide away by themselves. That sheep, easy to catch. Because if he goes inside the sheep, maybe them running around can kill him. That's why the lion always follows the herd, looking for the last of the animals to jump on it and take it. So, you are a sheep sent. And what you do is, instead of going, you hide. In your Christianity, hiding place, you hide. Somewhere out of the commission, you hiding. Oh, I go sing. When I get out, no more. Oh, I go see the church. When I get out, it's me, my comfort, my conveniency. May the Lord bless us, because his word is true and his word will never change. Let's stand. Praise God. Praise God. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, I pray everything was said here will not be vain in the mind, in the heart, in the soul of the people to whom this word is addressed. Father, let the word hit them. Let the word drag them. Let the word transform and change them. And don't forget me. Don't forget me, Lord. For I need to change. I need to change and feed your word. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You have heard this word. I don't know what it has done to you, but I know something has shifted inside of me. Something has shifted inside of me, and I'm not going to be the same anymore. That's my choice. I'm going to let this word do its work in me. I'm going to change. I'm not going to hide no more. What about you? Pray. Pray for change. Pray for transformation. Pray for God. He is in the business. restoration. Pray that he restores you. Pray that he helps you. Pray that he... Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let it rain on us. The power of restoration, let it rain on us. Let it rain. Let it rain. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The altar of the Lord.